Morning, guest. As I've already indicated, that the chairperson is unable to join the meeting today. Therefore, according to NA rules, we have
to 1159. Just joined us.
Who?
The chair.
Okay.
Now, Member Rosinan.
Hello, chair.
Hello, Kholisa, and good morning to members.
Honorable Comrade Chair, thank you.
I'm traveling. I'm going to the doctor. I'm taking my doctor, my daughter to the doctor. So I just thought I must come in if there is no quorum, so that we can elect a chair, and then the meeting should proceed. I'll continue. Online, but I won't speak because I'm traveling and I must go into a doctor's surgery now. Can you hear me, honourable members?
Yes, you can.
No,
hear you.
We hear you.
Yes.
All the best with the medical appointment.
Do you want us to elect chair now?
Curtis is Grace.
Hey, I'm proposing the name of Honorable Mashekhu to chair the meeting today.
But the person who must facilitate the meeting is Kholisa. Why are you allowing Mashekhu to facilitate the meeting?
Who will withdraw your name, Mashekhu?
Honorable Mashekhu is correct. Let's allow Kholisa to process that.
Honorable members, I'm confused because I'm not sure now which process to follow. Because the chairperson is here, I'm not sure whether we will have to elect when she left the meeting or we can elect now while she's around.
That's what I'm proposing, Kholi, so that I'm unable to speak because I might disturb the process. But I want to be part of the meeting so the meeting can elect the chair in my presence.
Okay, Chair.
Yes.
Honorable members, can we elect the acting chairperson because the chairperson will not be able to be with us during the course of this meeting? Can I have any proposals?
Yes, Ms. Kholisa. Good morning.
Can I turn in, Kholisa? What is the procedure in terms of that? Because you have raised a very important issue here. The chairperson is here with us in the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Then she was supposed to be chairing the meeting. She's here. So do we still elect the 18th chairperson in the presence of the chairperson? So let's follow the correct processes, because chairperson, even if you are not here, we're quoraning, we're actually on the process of electing the chairperson.
Yes, okay. I can go out of the meeting if a member so wish. I don't see any harm. I came in because I didn't want the meeting not to continue.
Chairperson,
because I was not sure.
Can I read you the rules? The rule is fine if you stay, Chairperson. In terms of Section 159 of the rules of the National Assembly Version 9, or Edition 9, Section 159.1 reads that if the chairperson of a committee is absent or unable to perform the functions of a chairperson, then the committee must elect another of its members. So it seems fine if you are here but unable to perform your functions that we can elect another chairperson now in terms of Section 1591 of the Rules of the National Assembly.
I think that's the process. Can we allow then, Kholisa, to proceed?
Okay. Proceed, Member Seke.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning. I'm nominating the name of Honorable Mashego to be the acting chairperson of the session. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Seke. Can I have a seconder, please?
It's Honorable Powell, I second.
Thank you, Honorable Powell. Mr. Mashego, can you please take a seat, please, and continue with the meeting? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the confidence. Can we have the agenda slide deck, please? Good morning and welcome everybody into the meeting. We should note that indeed the chairperson has just showed an ability to chair the meeting, and I'm asked to chair, and we are all welcome. Can we get the second point, which is to observe the moment of silence for meditation and or prayer? Thank you very much. Welcome to the meeting. Apologies, Kholisa.
Hello, Mr. Mashego.
Yes.
I have received an apology from Mr. Pason. He won't be able to join the meeting today. Thank you. That's the only... And the chairperson is unable to be with us, but she will join the meeting if she gets time.
Okay. Any other member who has got an apology with him or her that he did not manage to send it to Kholisa, if any? None.
None.
You are busy altering the agenda. We don't know which agenda must be followed now.
No, this is the agenda, Mr. Mashego.
Why are you altering it?
Okay, no, it's fine now. Because there was a misprint in the agenda.
Okay. Can we go to item 4? Mrs. Powell?
When you will allow, I just have a question of clarity on the other meeting that was on the program for today. I was going to do it under item, it's now moved to item 6, questions and comments. I just want to know what's happening about the meeting this evening, but I'll leave that to you to decide when we can ask that question. But please note there is a question there.
Can we adopt the agenda?
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
I move that we accept the agenda as is. Thanks.
Member Peke moved. Okay. Any other person? Who want to second or propose something different? Yeah. please, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We can't continue the meeting where the agenda is not adopted.
Chair, okay. It's Powell. I adopt.
Okay, thanks very much. Then we are on item 4.
Item 5, Chairperson.
Okay, let's get to that.
Item 5.
Thank you very much, Your Excellency, Comrade Chair. And a very good morning to all the honorable members, and including Umampem, the Deputy Minister for Human Settlement, and then to the leadership of FALCA, led by Umbombo, Comrade Ungubane. And on our side, Chairperson, we have the leadership of the department, led by the acting DG, Ma'am Mchotli, and her team. We're also joined by the leadership, the CEOs of the 9 water boards we have. And we're also having the leadership of SALCA as our same chair, led by Comrade Ungubane, Ukhansela Mbumvu. We are actually giving a joint presentation of the processes that were followed with respect to the determination of the water tariffs for the year, for this 21-22 financial year. And we also have to indicate it's one presentation. It will be presented by us, but SALCA will do the confirmation. And at the very same time, there are certain issues that when they are required, the various CEOs that have joined us, they will be able to come in. We will want to thank you as a committee, because last time you were very clear to us that this matter, we must handle it as a collective. And it has bear a number of good results. We know that in the last financial year, or that particular cycle, after your engagement with us, we then had the minister who reviewed that the increases that were given to water boards at that time, and ultimately the increase was put at 0%, which we are also quite aware that it then had unintended consequences. A number of water boards are still actually struggling even right now. And we should be able to indicate that we are presenting the decision that has been made in terms of the cycle already for noting by the committee. And we are also very pleased to note that stakeholder engagement and consultation went very well. We still have some challenges where certain parties, especially some municipalities, they are still sending junior officials. This matter is a very important matter. Those officials who are nearly dealing with issues of finances and economy cannot only be left alone, but we also want decision makers to come closer to the process. At the very same time, our partners, the South African Local Government Association of South Africa, there are the latter of number of comments that will demonstrate in the presentation and how some of these issues were taken into consideration. And our economic regulation team was continuously guided by the wise input by the Office of the National Treasury, and of which certain of those elements are clearly also articulated there. When the teams are doing the presentations, Chair, they should be in a position to demonstrate where the areas of concern were. We are actually having this particular matter Then later on, there was a subsequent event that happened. The matter of the electricity prices was ultimately determined by the courts, where in terms of the reclamation account, Eskom was given a double digit. It will give us some challenges, but we should be able to point out that these decisions have been made and we should be able to proceed. In the meantime, I'll request Abram and the team Salga to put the presentation on the screen. But before they do that, it would be very appropriate, with your permission, Chair, that we allow these experiments, the comrade Tami Ngubane, Umbovu, just to have some weight before our teams, they do the joint presentation. And then later on, your excellencies as honorable members, you can engage with us. And then our teams, our technical teams, both the water board, Salgam, and the department will respond. Then myself and Mbovu, we can come at the end to conclude this particular matter. Yalebuha, Comrade Chair, with your permission, Estrella Umbovu Abenezunai. Deborah and the team, you can start putting the presentation Umbovu while, with the permission of the Chair, make some remarks. Thank you.
No, thanks. Thanks very much, Chair. Mashallah Boss, Mungakulu, with the opportunity that I'm being given, I wish to bring Salga NEC warm greetings to all members who are part of this meeting, members of the Human Settlement, Water and Sanitation Portfolio, and also representatives of water boards, treasury, and delegation that accompanies me from Salga. Well, I think we are departing from our baseline upon which we are departing is what has happened in the last financial year. And I must indicate to the meeting that this financial year, the picture is much different. Remember last year, that now and again, we were sent back to go and ensure that we compare notes and come to the meeting singing from the same hymn book. I think this year we've been able to actually achieve that. I must say that as Salga, we've engaged in a consultation process starting from last year in October and November. We formed part of the municipal engagement with water boards. And then afterwards, we received a submission from water boards and we did our thorough assessment of the tariff file that were submitted by water boards from December to mid-January. And on 27 January, I wish to confirm that as Salga, we were able to submit our comments to the minister's office. And I must also indicate one of the very important factors, which I think was responsible for a picture to be different from last year and previous year's engagement. I must say that there were additional sessions we held with the Department of Water and Sanitation, ourselves, the Salga, and also the National Treasury. I must say that these additional sessions provided the necessary and sufficient platform for us to compare notes and also have what we call a cross-pollination of ideas. And I must say that this time around, it was not just for compliance. We wish to say that the conversation that took place in those additional sessions were very authentic and honest. And it is upon this basis that we come today to the Joint Portfolio Committee, all of us singing from the same hymn book. We've been able to persuade each other, understand each other, where we come from, and as a result, we've been able to find the common ground. So what will be presented here, indeed, is a product of a collective process where we've actually been able to find each other. I must say that also we fully understand that the issue of improvement is will be as a result of the continuous process. I must say that as SALGA, as part of contribution to the continuous improvement, we have developed a tariff assessment tool which enables the computing of tariffs by changing the assumption. Also, one of the aims of the tariff assessment tool is to standardize the tariff input information by water boards over time. Must also indicate that in those additional sessions that we had with the department, we have been able to introduce the issue of the assessment tool, which we believe that must inform and influence the processes of 22, the financial year of 2022-2023 tariff cycle. While we've also agreed, but as SALGA, we are also concerned, we wish to express our concern on the issue of the North Gauteng High Court, which actually took a decision that impacted on the tariffs, which moved from 5.22 tariffs to 15.63 for 2021-2022. And this provision was made in 17th of February after the tariff cycle. And our concern is that it will lead to under-recoveries of water boards in this current, in the 2021-2022 financial year. So we wish to confirm that indeed whatever that will be presented is as a result of the collective effort between ourselves, as SALGA representing all municipalities, and also the department and National Treasury. And we wish to commend the nature and the spirit of the conversation that we had. And I wish to say that indeed, whatever will be presented in terms of the summary of approved tariffs has incorporated the views of SALGA. Thank you very much.
Leadership. We'll request our team DWS and SALGA to do the presentation like Comrade Ngubane is saying. Don't go through all those issues of legislation. Let's go to the key issues, what is being proposed, what has been approved, and what were the considerations, because there's also other items that need to be taken. The other items for the chair, if our team can be more focused. But those other issues, how did you handle those comments and how do you handle them going forward? Please go through. Can we have Mrs. Deborah and SALGA quickly to go through that? There is no need for background now. Sesienzi, can I move?
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Members. Yes, Honourable Chairperson.
Show your face before you close your camera, Deborah.
Oh. Can you see me now? That's a beautiful face that has just joined you now.
There is no face. It means there's no shading. You can proceed.
Okay, thank you, GM. Honourable Members, we will be presenting, as it's already indicated, a joint presentation between the department and SALGA, as it was consulted with the various stakeholders as mentioned. The presentation will be done by Suzanne. To me, really, the take home from this is when honorable members will assist us in getting municipalities to pay the water boards, because honestly speaking, at the moment, that is what is constraining services from water boards. And we do not have a budget by which we can sustain the water boards. So throughout this presentation, honorable members, I would like you, beseech you, I request you to please have that in mind. Thank you very much. Over to you, Suzanne.
Thank you, Acting Chief. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, members. The presentation is requested, and I'm going to skip the slides. I don't need to talk to you. I needed to highlight this as a background that the sources of funding for water boards and municipalities are classified on, are outlined on this slide, and it needs to be noted that water boards are fully dependent on tariffs for them to be able to play on the financial market. So if they cannot be sustainable in terms of their tariff connections, then they cannot borrow, because they are part of Schedule 3B, which says they must be self-sufficient. Now, in terms of the water cycle, this is just a reminder for those that may not know. The tariff number one, the water resource management and the resource development management, as well as the waste discharge system, are informed by the pricing strategy, and they are called the raw water charges. They are determined by the department, and water boards are receiving those as an input cost when they are determining their bulk tariff, which is the tariff number three, and that will be passed on to municipalities for them to determine the tariffs that goes to customers from the sanitation side as well as the water supply side. This slide is explaining the same matter. I'm going to skip these two. Now, in terms of water provision, we need to highlight that we have identified five major costs that are affecting the raw water: electricity, labor.
Don't move around. Be stable, because you get in and out.
Apologies, Chair. I will do.
And the other thing, presenter, the skipping. Why skipping those ones? Because we also want to understand what's happening. They are pages that you have skipped, and we have interest on them as well. Thank you.
Oh, apologies for that. I thought I needed to skip the legislative provisions as they are being noted. Should I go back?
Yes, yes, please go back.
Yes. Please go back and be very slow in taking honorable members through that slide on the tariffs in the water value chain, so that there is that basic and basic understanding.
Starting here.
Yes, please. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, TG. What I was saying on this slide was that the raw water charges are informed by the pricing strategy, which is based on the National Water Act, and these charges are determined by the department through the WTE account. This would be the water resource management charge. This would be the infrastructure development charge, where there are dams and canals. Those costs would be coming from there. The waste discharge charge system, charge number 7, is also part of the pricing strategy, but it has not been activated as yet. And once it is activated, it will form part of the waste management charge that it will be informing, it will be an input cost to the sanitation side of the tariffs. Now, these input costs are considered by water boards and those municipalities that are abstracting directly from the source. And since water boards are supposed to transform that water to a consumable standard, then the raw water becomes one of the major costs that has to be taken into account. And those costs from water boards are then forwarded to municipalities, who will then determine the tariff that the end user ultimately checks on. Now, with the municipal tariffs, they have other infrastructure they need to take into account, including the reservoirs, including the reticulation pipeline, which is generally much more than what the water board pipeline would be. The difference is that the water board pipeline are generally thicker, but the municipal ones are smaller, and they are many. Now, this slide is just trying to show which institution plays on the value chain. As we have highlighted, the department sets the raw water tariff, that is tier one. The second slide is the second bar where it talks to water provision. That is where the water boards are playing. Now, these two tariffs have to be tabled in Parliament as per the Section 42 of MSMA and Circular 23 that requires us to table these tariffs before they can be passed on to municipalities. And then municipalities, empowered by the MSMA and our Norms and Standards and Water Services Act, are also empowered to determine the tariffs that goes to the end users, being yourselves and myself. Now, a bit of reflection on how we comply with the legislation, Section 42 of MFMA and Circular 23. The tariffs, we started the consultation process in October of 2020, where all the required customers were invited to listen to the proposals. Then the requirement of MFMA also says SALGA and National Treasury must be given the first draft proposals 40 days before the tariffs are concluded, and that was done on the 1st of December of 2020. They were given this for them to comment on, and they were also expected to provide comments on the proposed tariffs, of which they have done so, highlighting the areas of concern and areas which are of high risk for the water boards to take into account. After these comments were made, the water boards were expected to prepare a consolidated proposal and submit to the department by the 25th of January. And that package is supposed to include how they have responded to the comments that they have received. And as it was said earlier, SALGA also made a separate presentation directly to the department outlining the overall perspective of the tariffs. The tariffs were then tabled in Parliament by 15 March, as it is required by the legislation. And this is the final stage to outline to the members what had happened. Now, coming to the cost determination, I was saying that there are five major costs that have been found to be playing a big role in the bulk water tariff determination. These costs contribute 60% of the total costs that the water boards are incurring. Now, it needs to be noted seriously that the raw water purchases are demand-driven, because this is the actual product that we need to consume, and the water boards have to transform that to a potable standard for us to consume it. So in other water boards, this quantity might seem low, but with other water boards, this quantity is high, depending on what is needed. Eskom has been spoken about being a particular challenge this time around, and it needs to be noted as well that some water boards like Bloom Water and Umhlathuzi, they are not only drawing electricity from Eskom, but they are served by the municipality as well, which makes their tariff to be slightly higher than what has been given to Eskom. Labor costs are also an issue of concern, because the labor costs are determined by the different bargaining councils, and we basically don't have much control over this, though the minister has issued a directive that this needs to be managed. Chemical costs are informed by the international markets, as most of the chemicals being used are generally imported. So since we don't have control over the exchange rate, this is what contributes to why the chemical costs are considered to be one of the biggest contributors. Depreciation is also informed by the amount of infrastructure that is there, and it has to merge or to match the accounting requirements to manage that infrastructure. So that you would, since water is a infrastructure intensive industry, depreciation would be high. Over the past 3 years, we have noted that the above cost factors have increased above inflation rate, and that has been beyond the control of water boards. I must say, with the exception of the raw water, because the minister has been successful in controlling that part. Now, going into water boards, I will flight them individually with the concerns that have been raised, starting with Amatola. On this one, what has been raised from SALGA, which was a serious concern, is that they were struggling to get into a long-term contract with the district municipality, in this poses a risk of sustainability for this institution, while also the rising staff costs or the persistently high staff costs are being considered to be a serious risk. You will see on the bar chart that is attached to say that the maroonish color is the staff cost, while the blue color is the raw water cost, and all others seems to be a bit lower, but these are looking to be high. I did say the raw water cost is informed by the demand, and the staff cost, obviously, the labor that needs to be transforming that water. Moving forward, from the department side, we have realized that the high tariffs are due to the low volumes of sales that are being handled with this institution, because if we had more volumes, it would have balanced out the operating costs that the institution is facing. As the institution is under financial distress, and we have noted that they require intervention, they are not strong enough to can get borrowing limits, and that is a particular, that is an issue of concern. So we are also highlighting that the proposed tariffs have been approved as requested, covering the potable and the raw. Now, when it comes to Bloom Water, the issue with Bloom Water was that the contract they have in place that they are working on is very old and needs to be reviewed. And we have noted that they've included the impairments in their trade receivables, which may also affect their tariff determination. Bloom Water can also be seen to be having higher staff costs than all other costs. And with that, we need to assist them. And Bloom Water experienced some challenges with their consultations this year, or this time around. When they sent out the invitations, not all municipalities actually participated, and that is one area that we need to assist them on. They also have a high capex that requires funding, but they are not strong enough to obtain the borrowing limit or to participate in the markets, and that is working at their disadvantage. They have also recorded a high debt level, which has exceeded R1 billion today. Netherlands Northern Water, same with the other water boards, is sitting with high staff costs. The concerns that were raised from SALGA is that the cash flow problem they are sitting with needs to be managed, as they are having some municipalities not paying them. But we have also heard that this, they are trying to manage it, and we should give them chance to resolve it. The Treasury said there wasn't sufficient information provided for them to give an opinion, though there was a noting that the double-digit increases were a bit of an issue. The liquidity concern is the same as the cash flow problem that has been highlighted. From our side, as the department, we were concerned about the business model that requires to be reviewed for Lebelle to have a suitable cross-subsidization mechanism amongst all the institutions that they are supplying. CLIPEX is an issue because they are struggling to fund it, and the approved tariff is 11%, the approved increase. When it comes to Mahalis, the concerns that were raised were the methodology of going to the uniform tariff as well as the drought tariffs that Mahalis proposed. And the revenue projections would seem to be a bit unrealistic. Labor is still an issue here as well. And from Treasury as well, they were also not kind of happy with the uniform tariff proposal that Mahalis needs to adopt. That was a similar issue on our side as well, and we have agreed to engage further before the next round of tariff consultation on how we can make a uniform tariff practical for Mahalis water to be sustainable. Coming to Umhlathuzi, the concerns that were raised by SALGA were that the general expenses were a bit higher than expected, but we are noting staff costs being peaking out. National Treasury supported the full recovery approach that they are putting forward, but the labor costs were a concern. On our side, we felt that the highest tariff percentage increase of 15% compared to other water boards, it was a bit much that was proposed on the potable side. But what has been approved by the minister was the 9% as opposed to the 15% that was projected. And some of the comments that we had were in relation to the operations, because they were projecting year on year high sales volumes. And yet when you look at the sales and the annual financial statements, they were giving us a different picture. They are also struggling with their CAPEX, since they cannot participate in the financial markets. And that is a big concern to us. When it comes to overbet, the one big issue, the 0% has kind of hit overbet particularly hard, since they are a smaller water board compared to others. The concerns raised by National Treasury and SALGA were around the drought tariff and the penalties, also the under-recovery that has been noted by National Treasury. From the department side, we have noted that the low sales volumes may be a bit of an issue, and the water board has got agricultural clients that are supporting it, but they are working on increasing their footprint with the municipalities. When it comes to Rainwater, this is one institution whose tariff has been approved as it has been proposed. Unlike the other graphs, Rainwater's graph shows that the raw water is the biggest cost, but again, the Rainwater is serving the hub of the economic hub of the country. Therefore, obviously, the demand will be higher. The staff cost is fairly managed, as compared to the raw water cost, which is demand driven. Now, what has been noted from SALGA is that the dispute needs to be managed when it comes to personnel and the water demand. And while National Treasury spoke about the revenue increases as a result of tariff increase and not increasing in terms of demand. So those are administrative issues that we are going to be engaging with Rainwater moving forward. On our side, we have noted that the profit margins that Rainwater is working on are particularly high, but it also assists them to manage their capital investment, which they are proposing around 27 billion over the next 5 years. And if their customers are happy with the way things are happening, there isn't really much for us to can argue with them about. So the tariff has been approved as it was proposed at 5.8%. Sedibeng Water is one of those municipalities that are struggling. They are currently sitting with a deficit of about 18%, meaning that they're basically insolvent, and they have proposed a fairly low tariff. that is meant to still assist with the pandemic. From the SALGA side, they have noted that there needs to be an alignment in terms of their tariff application and their corporate plan, and correct levels of capital expenditure needs to be attended to. While Treasury highlighted that they need to curtail their rapidly increasing staff costs, as well as the work that they need to do on Falga Magara projects needs to be fast-tracked. Now, on our side, we are concerned about the size of the water board because it's particularly big. It has taken over the areas that were not manageable in the past, Butselo, Beladrift, and Namakwa. So we have taken these institutions that were not self-sustainable, plugged them into Sibeng, Sidibeng, and made them even harder to operate. And they are sitting with a very huge CAPEX requirement that they cannot secure funding for. And that is a bit of a challenge. The water board is sitting with the highest debt of around 4 billion, with the biggest one coming from Machabeng. So the tariff that they proposed has been approved at 6%. Coming to Umngeni Water. Umngeni is also another stable institution of the department. SALGA noted some discrepancies in terms of the expansions and the low sales volumes that were projected on their proposals. Staff costs were an issue as well. National Treasury noted that they needed to implement some curtailment measures when it comes to their expenditure. On our side, we felt that the water board is fairly stable. It also operates around the 20% operating margin. They are able to fund their CAPEX. And for the next 6 years, they are planning on 15 billion rands worth of CAPEX. And that can be doable. Now, they initially proposed 7%, but we recommended the minister approved the 5% so that they may also be able to continue supporting their municipalities during the pandemic. Now, these last two slides are just giving a background on the municipal tariffing process. And what we are saying is that we could not actually go and enforce that the 0% that was approved last year is being pushed forward to the end users, but we can only make an input as and when an opportunity has been given. Because with the municipal tariff, the approval powers are sitting with their council, and they need to be taking input in terms of their consultation process. And that was done. Again, this is just to highlight on which part of the MFMA requires the municipalities to be requiring a consultation. Chair, I would like to stop here because the rest of the slides, we have agreed to leave them out and not talk to them moving forward. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I'm sure we must appreciate the fact that you are today we are getting a consolidated report of both yourself and SALGA. It's a development which must be well thanked, because we have been saying like that for some time now. I think it's a good thing that you do, without necessarily talking to the content, but just the principle of having engaged yourself in preparation of a single presentation. We must appreciate that. Can I have hands of those that will want to speak on the portal? Members?
Mr. Comrade Chair?
Yes.
We are done with our presentation. As we have indicated, thank you.
Yeah, I've already invited them to speak to them today. Was I not audible?
No, some technical issue with leadership. I'm fine, Dick, I can hear you.
Chairperson?
Okay. Yes.
Chairperson?
Yes.
I'm having a problem with my gadget here. I don't see the symbol for raise your hand. I also would like to ask questions.
Why was I worried when I'm on foot?
I keep born.
She must have refilled her data.
Okay. It's okay. Like I will take you as fast, Mam Khutu.
Can I start asking questions?
I'm happy. Let me just note the speakers. I'll give it now.
Okay. Thank you.
Mam Shala. That's what happened. Can those that I have spoken to speak? Mam Khutu?
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question is, could the department provide a synopsis of public comments made on the and the norms and standards for tariff setting underwater services? And then the next one is, what are the challenges encountered by SALGA on the quality of business plans by water boards? And then the third one is directed to the department. Why is the department content with importing chemicals? Is there any initiative which the department is taking to develop or produce their own chemicals in order to alleviate the cost of water to our consumers? Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson.
Hey, thank you.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Just two things. Maybe let me start with the one Mkhotu has ended with. I think we did say in our last meeting that the department must continuously brief us on the local production of chemicals so that they can reduce that input price. Probably it may not be today, but it should be in the agenda of the department that at all times would want to be briefed on the development of our local capacity on chemicals. Secondly, Chair, I think, Chair, we need to also to look at what Randwater is doing, what good Randwater is doing, so that we can copy what Randwater is doing and key and share with other local other boards or other entities, because this issue of having one item being higher than the rest, even Randwater, if you look at their, what is that blue line for? That blue line for water, I can't remember whether it's demand or what. If you look at that blue line, it's quite too high. We need to strike towards making a moderate of all these costs so that we're able to maintain a better cost for a good production, Chair. So I think the other municipalities are trying their best. The other boards are trying their best to maintain that. Those are the 2 points, Chair. Thank you.
Chairperson, my first question is, in the absence of the National Treasury at this meeting, could the Department of Water and Sanitation maybe provide an overview of comments made by the National Treasury team on 2021-22 tariff determinations. Chairperson, according to the findings of SALGA, there appears to be inconsistencies in the approach to separate costing of schemes and associated cross-subsidy. Could the department explain their position on this one? Chairperson, is the department, together with the relevant stakeholders, considering moving towards the approval of multi-year tariffs? And the last one is, the primary aim of the revision of the raw water pricing strategy and norms and standards for tariff is to provide an enabling framework for the provision of financial assistance and the use of water pricing to ensure and foster predictability and stability within the water and sanitation sector. Has the department during the revision process made explicit the need to balance debt and equity finance for investment? Given more clarity on the diversion of cash into short-term investment as applied by water boards, has the department considered a line item which incorporates cash, cash equivalents, and short-term investments? Could the department provide more clarity on the policy for including impairments as an operating expenditure? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, colleagues. Before you just, because there are no others, let me make my 2 or 3 points. The department needs to, and the department, even the water board themselves, that there is an outcry of the labor cost that is escalating day in and day out. But in the process, there is nothing that proactively seems to suggest an intervention by be it the department or by the board or by SALGA itself to curtail this trend by either by virtue of budgeting properly and to pay and reach agreements with labor within the agreed upon budgets. That escalation should be curtailed. We don't get a sense of the intention to want to do so. The second point is the issue of the Amatola District Municipality that is said to be refusing to give long-term contract to the Amatola Water on the basis of they saying that because their term of office is 5 years, they can't give anything beyond 5 years contract. I think that is a wrong assertion. I think an intervention is needed there because, for instance, in October, by October this year, there will be no councillors in Amatola. So by implication, nothing must happen in November or December this year because councillors will not have said and passed the budget. It can't be correct. As the state is there to stay to stay and run, irrespective of the political structure that comes into being. I'm sure we need to talk to that strictly with that district municipality. There is this one of Mangaung that insists it wants to implement the 2003 agreement when we are in 2021. Something must be done there in Mangaung or even in Machabeng because even Machabeng has got a difficulty there. I know that there is an outcry now that the mayor has been moved, but I think we need to intervene there and Babu Nguban, me and you, we have got the history of that Machabeng matter. Please intervene there because then there's an escalation problem there. I don't understand whether we have a plan to deal with the issue of Sidibeng, which is 18% in deficit, and what is the plan to resuscitate it to be proper. the MGEN report, it is said that you are eating too much fat there. Please bring the fat to the boat. The board, it's the board you're talking about. That you are, your expenditure is a little bit fat. So says the National Treasury. Okay. And I'm sure we will hear the outcry, Salga. Salga is crying that we need to help the municipalities to pay at least the water board what is due to the water board, in order for the water board can also pay what is due to any other person that need to pay. I think that is acceptable. We need to do that. We must call public meetings that we encourage people that we can only have water if water is expired from the soil. And that needs money to do that. And that money is lying in their pockets. They must pay for what they get. And the polluter also must pay. Okay. I haven't seen any other name on the portal unless there is one. No, there is none. Let's hear the water boards first and then the department last.
No, thank you very much, Your Excellency, Comrade Chair. Let's start with the boards from the coastal line and then come inland. We can start in Overbeck if there's anything for them, but I couldn't hear anything. Overbeck, tell us.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, Deputy Minister, and members at large. And as we are correct, DM, there wasn't much about Overbeck, but the only thing we want to say is, as Overbeck Water, we are positioning ourselves as the strategic partner in terms of water service provision. We're therefore doing everything humanly possible to engage with all our municipalities in terms of securing a digital water supply to improve the water volumes as referred to earlier on by Ms. Moshodi, but more importantly, to ensure security water service provision, not only in the Western Cape, but in the water management area as a whole. That's all I can say for now, DM. Thank you.
I'm getting water, ma'am.
Good morning. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you to Deputy Minister. Good morning to the members of the Portfolio Committee. Chairperson, with regards to Umngeni Water Board, we do understand of the comments that were raised by the National Treasury around the cost curtailment plans that they would want to see or the measures that they would want to see. We are working on such a plan. Part of our plans overall include also the reviewing of the staff establishment of Umngeni Water so that we are able to manage or better manage and see where we could curtail costs around the labor costs, which are one of the costs for Umngeni Water that are on the increase. And the other costs that are quite high are driven by the volumes that we treat, but also the rates that are basically outside of our controls, mainly on the electricity or the energy costs, which in terms of the rates we get from either municipality or ESCOM. And then it's also dependent on the operating rules at the time in terms of pumping and the like. However, Chair, we are putting plans in place to manage the cost for Umngeni Water. In terms of the rates paid to the board itself, there are regulated rates. We don't pay anything above what has been given to us as guidelines from the department. So I think in that one, we are still okay. But the other costs, definitely, we are putting measures in place, our plans in place to ensure we manage the costs. Thank you, Chairperson.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning to the members of the Portfolio Committee. With regards to the issues that were raised on Umhlatshozi Water, in the main, it was the issue about the proposed double digit, which we had at 15%, but the minister adjusted it to 9%. Quite frankly, the issue there was that in the previous financial year, the proposal, as you know, Chairperson, We did receive a 0% basis increase in terms of the tariff. We were really passing on the effect of the previous financial year zero basis point increase into the tariffs of the current financial year, because the net effect of that 0% increase is still felt by the water board as it stands, because those costs associated with the production of water and all related activities in terms of the distribution of bulk to our clients is the cost that we had to absorb as an institution. So it was a carry-on effect in terms of proposing the double digit in the tariff. However, we noted that the minister revised 15% to 9%, and we've accepted the effect of the revised tariff by the minister. The issue, though, Chairperson, that one must underscore is that the treasury assertion that the tariff must be cost reflective has got to be seen in context. That if you are trying to recover your throughput in terms of your cost in producing water, then if you are unable to recover that, you are going to carry through that debt, and you've got to recover it over time, because the fact that you had a zero basis point in terms of growth on tariff recovery doesn't mean you have not spent the money on the year it was. So over time, that money has got to be recovered, whether by means of cutting down on your operational expenditure, but over time you've got to be able to claim your financial system. The second part is around the rising cost in terms of the salary bill. Yes, it's true that the costs are a bit high, but there are two factors that are a contributor in as far as that. When we're doing our own assumptions in terms of how are the salaries going to rise organizationally, we're using the CPI index in terms of assuming how the salary wage bill will rise. But the outcomes of the Amanzi Bargaining Council came with the figure way above our assumptions. Therefore, when we did the reconciliation of the financial year, from what we had projected from a budgeting point of view, and what was concluded in the bargaining council, were the two different figures. Therefore, the amounts that were sitting outside what was agreed were then a deficit, then pushed our figures a bit on the outside, which then put us on a deficit. Then it showed a higher amount from what we had projected in terms of what we had hoped to spend on the salary and the wage bill, as it were. We continue to monitor our expenditure. However, if you look at our total salary bill from the operational expenditure point of view, it's still sitting at below 28% in total, so which is still within our manageable expenditure threshold, as it were. But we continue to monitor this, and we'll be guided by how these expenditure patterns will be monitored from a long range point of view, from a labor point of view. Chair, those are the issues that were raised from an intellectual point of view, and I thank you and the members. Will be guided by your counsel.
Thank you, Dr. Morotse from CE Promoter.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, members of Portfolio Committee, colleagues. Chairperson, one issue that was raised with regard to Blue Motor was the salaries and the issues of non-payment by Mangaung. I think in addition to what my colleague has already alluded to from Shatuzi, because we are having the same factors, it should also be noted that as an organization, we've got all the services insourced. We've got no services such as cleaning and security outsourced. So obviously that will influence on the salary bill of the institution. However, we are also continuing to monitor and put measures in place such as the recent approved organizational structure whereby we are proposing amalgamating most of the posts that is going to reduce the salary bill of the institution. I think also I would like to talk to the still ongoing non-payment by the Metro. As I'm talking to you here now, we have not been paid current account interest. Therefore, such things are also affecting the operation expenses of the institution. And I think one sector that is also contributing is the current trend whereby now the ratepayers associations are taking the water board to court, approaching the court to stop the water boards from taking legal action with regard to non-payment. Obviously, that also now influence on the non-payment because the municipalities are now taking advantage of it and they are not paying their current accounts. That is the situation that we have. And I think it is also important to mention that the short-term contracts that we are faced by, that are faced from other municipalities, such as Kopanong, to be specific, is also affecting. Kopanong is already having a huge debt, and it is also not committing to longer contracts. So those are the challenges that the water board is facing. I think this is what has just been raised with regard to Blue Motor Checkers, and I'm not sure whether I'm leaving anything because the colleagues have already addressed some of the issues.
We can indicate, Chair, we'll come closer with Salka to Manga Wong. And I happen also to be the district champion, the Norma Magazine. I'll request Dr. Abe Mbulawa, the CE for Sedibeng Water, to come through.
Thank you, Chair, members of the Portfolio Committee and colleagues. Yes, we do have, because we're such a large water board, our issues differ from one side to the other. For instance, the biggest problem that we have towards the African area is largely due to non-payment on the same basis that Dr. Moros has mentioned in Bloom. Where, for example, I think last week we tried to do a cutting of one of the municipalities there, and the Elizabeth Association took us to court to actually not to make to reconnect. And they are expecting that. And the other issues we are having in the Northern Cape are different in the sense that Northern Cape, because it's very flat, the cost of electricity is very, very high. And even if, for example, some projects like Springbok, even if they do make payment, what happens is that due to the large indigenous population, the amount of water that we supply and the cost of electricity is actually higher than the revenue that we can make out of the municipalities. And then also the major issue again of aging infrastructure in that area as well, which is creating cause a rough number of protests from Kimberley up to Khartoum, from Kimberley up to Springbok. We are working at some innovative ways on how we can recoup our monies, because I think of all the boards, we are owed the most. I think it's 4 billion at last count, and we need to come up with innovative ways in which we are able to recoup that money. But I think we are talking to Treasury about it as well, and the DWS is supporting us in addressing this huge debt. Thank you, Chair.
We'll take Kabazela Mahalis, Mkhize CE.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Greetings to Chairperson, honorable members of the committee, Deputy Ministers. For Mahalis Water, what was raised, Chair, is the issue of migrating towards a uniform tariff. Mahalis Water is operating four schemes. One big scheme, which is a 270 megaliter scheme a day, and three smaller schemes in the Pretoria area. But when you look at the water business is a volume-based business. The higher your volumes, the lower your operating costs, thus the lower your tariff, which means that communities that are supplied through the smaller schemes, they tend to pay a higher tariff because the volumes are low. So for us to be able to ensure that communities that are supplied to small schemes are benefiting from the economies of scale, from the big scheme that we operate, we need to then try and move towards a uniform tariff so that we can cross-subsidize them and then be able to push the tariff low in those areas. And if we don't do that, you may find that poorer communities that are supplied to small schemes will suffer, and communities and mining areas that are supplied to big schemes will be benefiting from the economies of scale. So that's the reason why we are moving towards a uniform tariff, and we are lobbying National Treasury and the department so that they approve. We have submitted the policy to the board, which has already been approved. So in the next tariff consultation, starting in September this year, we will have the tariff policy having been approved by the board, and we will be able to communicate that with National Treasury and with the Department of Water and Sanitation. Regarding labor cost, Chair, if you look at the bar chart of Magalis Water, labor cost is the lowest even when you compare with all other water boards. The only thing I can say, as my colleagues have also stated, is that we belong into the same Amanzi Bargaining Council. So whatever increase that we implement is based on the negotiations and the agreement that is achieved in the Labor Bargaining Council. The staff complement is informed by the size of the works that we operate, the classification of the works, and the skills needs that are needed in the area. And because we tend to be a rural municipality, we serve in rural municipalities, we find that the cost of attracting suitably skilled individuals tends to be high, because people do not want to be in rural areas. They prefer to be in urban areas. So for us to attract and retain highly skilled individuals to operate in our systems, we have to make some adjustment in the labor costs to attract those employees. So that's the only issue that I wanted to discuss from Magalis Water. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Northern Water, we have Venetia Dadu. Are we the acting CA?
Thank you, DM, and also members and Chairperson. I think in terms of the challenges that as water board we are experiencing, it cuts across all the water boards, and all the presentation has also covered me as well. I'll just be quick and straightforward, maybe focusing on what we are doing as Lepelle Northern Water to have a turnaround strategy and deal with the challenges that are also impacting on us. There's an issue that was raised about the cash flow problem. I think in terms of us also operating rural area, without repeating much of what Magalis CE alluded to, we also have small schemes that we are operating. The impact of operational costs that we incur due to the operation of those small schemes, it's high. So hence our double digit tariff that was raised as a concern. Those are actually the applicable in the small schemes that we are operating. And on the basis of that, we supply the rural or the poorer community. from those decentralized schemes or small schemes. It becomes not fair for the city to pay less than the community that even there is no form of employment. So what we are doing as well as proposed by DWS that we must relook at our business model in terms of structuring the tariff. And we are also looking at cross-subsidizing model in terms of us to come up with a tariff that will also cross-subsidize. However, we are still doing the assessment, of course. We're not going to just come up with a uniform tariff, but we are looking at a model that will allocate the overheads, most especially the administrative overheads that we incur from the support of the cost centers to a kiloliter that we produce. So more, where we produce more, we'll have more allocation on that. In terms of the labor cost also is the same. Of course, we are unable to fund our CAPEX, which to increase our CAPEX so that our footprint increases, our sales increases, then production increase. We will therefore have the economy of scale and also get out of the liquidity situation and all those. But unfortunately, because of the tariff that was not increased last year and hence there were double digits and so forth. Chairperson, let me just pose the DM. I think the most are covered.
Those are complaints about last year. Thanks, Chair. We'll take the Jersey from side, SVE of Rand Water. You will also share with us something. What can we learn? Comrade Msaki.
Good morning, DM. Chairperson and the members, colleagues, good morning. I hope you can see my face there. I cannot see my face, but the video is off.
We can see the face and logo. You can proceed.
All right, thank you. The Chair, thank you so much. I think it has been indicated in terms of rainwater and our key critical success factor, and I think one of our colleagues has spoken to it. I think the bulking up of our operation certainly assists in terms of our ability to also, you know, entire value chain, be able to put everything in one basket from economies of scale and work out the system in such a way that the system is able to cross-subsidize amongst ourselves. So we don't have infrastructure that is fragmented, and I think this is the beauty of why we have water boards, and we should continue to have them in the country, precisely because municipalities don't have to worry about their own individual infrastructure that inevitably from cost point of view is going to be relatively high, and therefore the tariffs that will go with maintaining that infrastructure. So I think if you like, I think that is the key critical success factor. And until recently, one of the critical success factor for us is that we have been able to, we used to pride ourselves with municipalities that are able to pay their tariffs on brief, on budget and on time. And the issue of municipalities that are also starting to, as a result of consumer challenges, or stress, is actually also affecting water. Although we were able to pass a tariff of requesting a proposal to pass a tariff of 5.8%, that I'm happy to report that is supported by SALGA and National Treasury. The reality of the situation with rainwater as well, irrespective of our size, is that we remain concerned with the issue of non-payment by some of our critical municipalities, Enfulen being one of them. And it has been documented for a number of years that they have been struggling. We have seen one of our major customer municipality indicating that they're technically insolvent. So yes, we are self-sustainable, at least for now, But these issues of that is affecting our sister water board are also affecting us. The one of the areas where we have been relatively successful in terms of our input cost is around energy. I think the way we have been managing our energy is to pump as much as possible during the off-peak. So you will see per volume of water that we produce, our energy levels have remained the same. Although the tariffs that Eskom and municipalities, it's a lot more higher than what we are proposing. I think that has also assisted a great deal. The manipulation of the pumping, because bulk of our energy really goes towards pumping more than producing the water itself. So we have found that if we have the necessary capacity of reservoir, you fill them up during the off-peak times, you are able to save on the energy. I just wanted to talk also, Chair, around the issues of chemicals that members have actually indicated, and I think the department may also respond. And I think it's an issue, as it has been correctly mentioned by members, to say we need to look at dealing with the chemical production for our usage slightly different going forward, i.e. looking at the possibilities of producing our own chemicals. I think this is a sector-wide concern, and it must be understood in that way. But from our side, as Rainwater, we've already started doing that. We are running a pilot in Zekerbosch, one of our treatment plants, to see that if we can produce our own chemicals at the scale that we can afford to maintain that production. So we're currently piloting that. But I think, as the comments have been said, I think we can leverage on economies of scale if we are able, as a sector, able to produce our own chemicals. I need to mention that we don't import chemicals in the form that we receive them. The chemicals are produced in South Africa, but some of the inputs in relation to the production of the chemicals are coming from overseas. So the threat is still there. So I think the biggest challenge in terms of generating our own chemicals at the scales that we are buying them will be the costs associated with capital to lay such plants. And as I indicate, as water boards, under serious financial distress, and we just don't have the capex as we speak to upgrade the plants that we have. And then I'm sure perhaps in the fiscus, if we can get that assistance with capital, we will be able to be on our way. That, in a way, will also deal with the issues of cost associated with chemical, because really these are uncontrollable costs. So yes, in the small scale, we are looking at it. But yet, at the bigger scale, we need some sort of leadership to see how we as water boards can benefit from the economies of scale insofar as generating our chemicals. So in brief, Chair, those are the comments that I just wanted to make from our side in terms of the input costs. And the department will also assist you dealing with the issues that the DTEC is raising around the peak that we see insofar as raw water costs are concerned. As it has been indicated, 60%, just for us, it's about 50% of our costs come from raw water that is passed on us from the department for the purposes of also from their side upgrade, refurbish, maintenance of the dams from which we draw raw water. So it is an input cost. We understand why it's been passed on us, but I think the department will talk about why it spikes and why it's over the blue line. Those are the brief comments, Chair, with the time constraints that we have. But yes, we, from labor point of view, Chair, in the year, just very quickly, in the year where we got 0% tariff increase, that is why you are seeing now, and you must have seen on the news that we are at loggerheads with our labor movement, because in the year where we got 0% tariff increase, we had to also constrain or contain our labor costs at exactly zero. And as you would imagine, if we don't get the tariff and we also pass the 0% tariff along the entire value chain, our labor costs and will be under severe constraint. And the fight that you're seeing between us and the labor, it's around issues of cost containment from our side. So on one hand, if we get 0% tariff increase, we just have to also deal with the cost containment. But you can only do so from labor point of view for a short period of time, beyond which it will create serious challenges in terms of your labor relations. Thank you, Chair.
No, thanks, Chair. The issues around Johannesburg, on the other side, the Johannesburg water, Rand Water is supporting that part. Chairperson, with your permission, will allow the department and the SALGA, Mbomvu, will guide us here. I see there's James and Janine who can come in quickly. But let's just respond on the issues of members because of time. I'm not sure, Mbomvu, whether it's James or Janine that is coming through.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning to the members of the portfolio committee. My name is James Matia from Mifalga. I will be briefly responding to the question that was posed in terms of what are the challenges that Falga have encountered around the corporate plan. And just to respond to that question, the main challenge that we have around the corporate plans is the misalignment between the information that we receive in the corporate plans and the information that we receive in the tariff file. So I could refer to information like your input costs, information like your infrastructure projects, information like your starting projections as well, and also your general administrative costs. We usually find that what is in the corporate plans and what is in the tariff files is not aligned. So that is the challenge that we have with the corporate plans. This is not something that is faced by all the water boards, but we see it as a consistent factor for those water boards that are affected. And as a way of a recommendation, one would say that the one water board that we found has some very excellent and seamless transfer of financial reports from a corporate plan to a tariff file is definitely Umgeni Water. So we could recommend that with the department identifies those water boards that we mentioned in our report, that the corporate plans are misaligned with the tariff files. And then we could organize a session with Umgeni Water, and they could help those water boards to be able to get that aspect correct. And that's just one question that we got from SALGA. Thank you.
Sister, very quickly, did you consult the public and other issues with your team? Maybe through Deborah, I'm not sure who can come in, those other issues around the peak, around the water, the bulk one. Maybe whether it's minus or who Deborah will guide, but let's quickly deal with that.
Chair, Susanna will be able to respond to the synopsis from the public consultations and from what National Treasury's inputs or remarks on the process. And then there were questions by Honorable Mukotu and Musala. Okay, there are those two questions. The question on the production of chemicals, I think Mr. Musai has responded to that, and that we will also take what Honorable Zeki said to say that the portfolio committee will put that on the agenda, and then they will require us to update them from time to time. What Honorable Musala was saying, why there are no long-term tariffs, I think Togo will be able to assist Susanne there. There's another question she asked about equity finance. I couldn't capture that quite well. If Togo did, she should be able to respond to that. But we also have Mr. Manas, who, this is baptism with fire because he has just moved to regulation from starting from today. But because he's not new in the department and in this business, he can assist. There's a question on impairment as an operating expenditure. There also I couldn't quite get. If one of the water boards, one of the CEs can respond to that, I'm not sure who to
who to volunteer there. I wonder whether I shouldn't. Let's volunteer Mr. Mosaibe for the impairment as operating expenditure to respond to that question. There's another question, line item that incorporates cash. I also missed that. Mr. Masai, if you got the question, please answer that together with the impairment one. The labor one, I think Mr. Masai did touch on, and Mr. Duze as well, on why the labor cost, but the challenge still remains. That it still has to be attended to, so that it is not as high as it is, and that it doesn't continue escalating. Okay, those are the questions that I have captured here. So
let's see when it starts.
Okay, all right. Sizani Tokoanas, and then Mr. Masai.
Thank you, DJ. First, with the synopsis of the comments that were received, the water boards were administering the tariff consultations. We were just observing their engagements. And I must say, most of the institutions consulted didn't really give much comments on their tariffs. It's only with the Umgeni where I saw there was a little bit of a heightened engagement. You know, all the institutions were like fully effectively participating, critiquing item by item, but generally other institutions would accept the proposal and request that they must go back to their principals to discuss it. Rentwater has had a fair engagement as well. So I think the consultation went well. Again, let me repeat, the only institution that had challenges with their consultations was Bloomwater, and we need to find a way of encouraging municipalities to cooperate with them. And when it comes to the norms and standards for tariff setting, yes, we are fairly advanced with the revision of the norms and standards as well as the pricing strategy. The norms and standards is even almost complete. It will be routed to our management for consideration very soon. The pricing strategy, we are still dealing with some of the challenges raised with us, so that we can make sure that it is fair. And both the norms and standards and the pricing strategy, they are catering for multi-year tariffing, so that we can improve the predictability and kind of assurity for the price takers. And the issues of a balance of equity is kind of included in there on the pricing strategy. It's one of the elements that National Treasury insists that they are not seeing it explicit, and we are still working on that element, and it should be done. But the issues that are like cash and cash equivalents, impairments, and so on, I must point out that those are accounting practices, and they are managed by the accounting board. And the way they are being applied here, it forms part of the reform processes that we are engaging with National Treasury to say, are they being applied in a fair manner? And it also assists in balancing the sustainability without contributing to elevated costs. So when it comes to impairments, honestly, for now, we may not be having an answer for you, but as we move on with our discussions with SALGA and Treasury, we should be able to clear that one out soon, and maybe also include it with the guidelines that will be implementing the norms and standards once it is finalized. Thank you so much, CJ.
Chairperson, DM, and honourable members, I will address the issues raised by Honourable Tseki and Honourable Mohlala. The first one was around the spike on the raw water tariffs. I think that is related to the issues of pollution in our raw water, and we are trying to address as the department. We previously indicated that we have bring in trained professionals on environmental management inspectors that are going to help us on the issues of monitoring and strengthening our capacity at a local level. It's the issue also that the catchment management agencies are going to deal with once they are also established. The issues of Honorable Mohlala, the multi-year tariffs is the issue that we are advocating as the department as part of the reforms sector, economic sector reforms that Ms. Moshidi is working on. Just also to indicate that the water ports in terms of financing are supposed to be self-sustainable. This is why we emphasize that the tariffs that they are also charging should be cost reflecting. The issue raised by Honorable Chairperson Mashego on around the labor costs, the escalation, the minister has also addressed that issue with the chairpersons of water boards as the executive authority and shareholder, and she has formally written to them around the issues of cost containment, and also she has engaged the amount bargaining and also the unions. And also the issue around the payment of water ports by municipalities. We are working with SALGA and National Treasury, as Jean and James are aware that they have set up a multidisciplinary task team that is going to report under the with ESCOM under the Deputy President of the country. So the issue of water has been elevated to that task team. They are currently finalizing their proposals, and we are hoping to come back together with SALGA to present those proposals and interventions. Thank you, DG and members. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Chair, the DG had requested me to talk about the issue of impairment. Thank you. Thank you for that question. I think it's quite critical. And I think, I have indicated, is one of the biggest challenges that characterizes water boards at this point in time in relation to our sustainability going forward is around the 14 municipalities. If municipalities continued to default, we are now forced to make a provision for impairment of that debt. And that goes straight into our operating cost line item. What does that mean in the long term? It means our bottom line is going to be affected. And when our bottom line is affected, it means our sustainability is affected in the sense that we will not be able to upgrade our infrastructure, refurbish, maintain, and operate it. And therefore, we cannot, and as Sister Goy say, we need to have a tariff that reflects all our costs. At this point in time, the issue of impairment has not been sufficiently catered for. So what's going to happen going forward through the discussion that we're having is, as required by, as Suzanne is mentioning, by the standards, we have to make a provision for it. If you start making a provision for it, it means we're going to have costs that are going to balloon, and we all know the consequence thereof what will be. So I think that question is particularly relevant. It's a question that needs to be flagged. It's a matter that needs to be attended to, because in the long term, it's going to affect our ability to provide water, not only as water boards, but of course, if water boards struggled to supply water, municipalities will also be affected. We didn't get the question properly of cash and cash equivalents, but essentially the cash and cash equivalents that you're seeing, and the mass value broadly in our numbers, the cash that we generate into as bottom line in our business is the money that we set aside to upgrade our infrastructure going forward. I think we all know that water boards don't declare dividends, and therefore we are self-sustainable. So we need to have this cash. We need to have this amount of money to be able to also cushion us during the times when we may need them, insofar as 0% tariff increase is concerned, that are not sustainable in the long run. But most importantly, this is the money that we reinvest back into the business. Because as you go into the market to request more money beyond what you have in cash, they will also look at your balance sheet and your ability to repay some of these bonds. As Rainwater, as you may have seen in the media, we're able to pay the bond that we have taken with RW21 with these financial institutions. Had we not made the provision through cash and cash equivalents, we will be passing this problem over to the fiscals and your good selves. But because we've been tightly managing this number, we are able to redeem our bonds. These are the money that we borrow in the market to augment the cash that we have to upgrade our infrastructure. We have RW23 that is coming also in the next year or so. We should be having this cash and cash equivalents over and above the need to augment our infrastructure to pay these obligations. If we don't, then it means the fiscals will need to do that. So these cash that the water boards generate are not just profits for the sake of generating the net income. They are there to ensure that we are able to keep the sector going. We are able to upgrade, refurbish, operate, and maintain the infrastructure that we produce. That is why, as at today, most of the water boards have not gotten even a cent from the fiscal to keep us going and ensure water sustainability going forward. Thank you, Chair. I think those are the two questions that the DG said that must attempt to respond. I thank you.
Chair, we will request Ubabumbombo to come in.
Hello, Chair.
Comrade Ngobane, we will want you to come in, Chair.
Chairperson, so quiet.
Magangene, Ubabu Ngobane, okay.
Mbombo. Okay, while Mbombo is trying to connect, I think Your Excellency is we must thank you, as we are saying.
Maybe DM. Before you close on your side, just two issues.
Okay.
Sorry, through the chair. Yes. I think Rainwater has said something very positive around...
What are you doing, Peggy? Peggy, what are you doing?
I withdraw.
They're just sharing themselves.
Oh. Mbombo,
sikhaya isihlalo ngoba bese sifuna ukwengena nombombo nathi senze kwethu kuphawula bese uyathatha over indaba zakho.
Yenza njalo phela kumele lokho mina.
Sibonisa isandla sikababuceki, you need to guide us.
Yeah, buceki, akukhozandla, can you call the response?
No, thanks, Chem. Let's just say firstly, Chem, well, We wanted to say the instructions you gave us with SALCOM and COCTA and National Treasury, we continue to work very closely, like His Excellency Comrade Ngobane has indicated. We know we still owe you. We have to come back on the issues of the independent economic regulator. Remember, we've said that those are the issues that we've started. And His Excellency the President, when he was speaking, he was able to be in a position to actually indicate an Operation Vulindlela, including the whole issues of water pricing. Well, the water boards, as we're saying, Chair, there are a number of issues that are input cost. The issue of labor cost, Chair, is a matter that will go back to the drawing board and be able to say, how do we handle that particular matter? Because for water boards to continue to perform at the highest levels, the issues of skilled personnel is going to be very important, especially the rural water boards, to draw this special expertise and skills
they will need to be able to be competitive like those that are doing well. But at the very same time, some of these water boards, as part of the oversight responsibility we have and guiding them, they will have to relook in terms of their organizational structures, because some of them, you find that their core mandate is very thin and limited, and we must be able to increase the technical know-how. We agree with you, Chair, and the members, with respect of building the capacity about the treatment solutions, that the treatment solution should be South African made. Like we're dealing with the question of the TRIPS, the waiver of the IP for the vaccines in the country. The manufacturing base for South Africa is going to be a very important thing. But while we are actually going to manufacture in our country, we must not close ourselves as part of the global community around the question of technological transfer, because there are a number of technologies that are available, but these technologies must be adapted to our own condition. Therefore, the issue that Tsegi and others have raised, we agree. We are supporting the pilot that Randwater is trying to do, but those issues of treatment using chemicals, and in future, you will not only use chemicals, but there are other technologies that are there that we can be able to treat our water much better. And it's an important aspect. Well, the issues of the other tiers of the tariff determination, the raw water, the bulk water, including the retail one, is going to be very important when we relook at issues of our pricing strategy in terms of water use charges. But in the main, this is a very good work in progress. We have not arrived at our destination, and we should not be able to relax. The last matter, Chair, are the matters yourself you have continuously raised. The issues where certain municipalities, they are not actually believing in using the water boards as the water service providers of choice. And the concern that are raised by some of these municipalities around the issues of the duration of the contracts, the issues of return investment when you put assets on the ground. We can look at some of these municipalities, whether in KZN, whether in Limpopo, whether in Northwest, including Free State. Those are the issues that I think with Comrade Ngubane and the leadership of SALCA and COCTA will come closer, because we need to actually develop a win-win. And the question of the non-payment, especially of the debt, including actually being up to date with the current accounts, is a matter that remains on the agenda. And it's a matter that we don't want to cloud today's presentation. It's a matter that belongs to the IMC that the Deputy President has been dealing with, including the matters of ESCOM. And we're closer to that particular process. But it's correct for the water boards to continuously raise these matters, because those who can afford to pay for water, we must encourage them to pay. And in instances where there is equitable share for free basic services, it must always be ring-fenced so that there is no temptation to use that ring-fenced budget for other activities. Those are some of the issues, Your Excellency, Comrade Chair, I thought I should raise. I think Umbomvu is connected now. He can give his word, because the two of us as leading the teams, we should be able to give our word. Umbomvu, please, before we give it to Bob Mashiko back, he's in Dambozak. Umbomvu, unmute yourself.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much. I would like to make some also closing remarks. While the matter is dealt with at the level of the interministerial committee led by Deputy President, but as SALCA, we would like to actually request the portfolio to set up another meeting where ourselves, the SALCA, the Department of Water and Sanitation, the National Treasury, and COCTA can come and make a presentation on our strategy to address the issue of the debt owed in the water value chain. I believe they need to also know and understand and our strategy so that in the event that they can actually modify it and strengthen it here and there, the portfolio committee can have that particular opportunity. That is our request as SALGA, that a portfolio committee will schedule another meeting where we'll come and present the strategy of dealing with the issue of the debt in the water value chain. Thank you very much.
Okay. And I read it that you want that to happen before October, because if we can allow October to come, new councillors, when they come, they will take time to come to that view.
It's urgent, Chair. We need our money. And the Mbombo Vele Siakweletana, Uzo Isheshi is our star.
Okay. Let me allow if there is anyone who wants to make a follow-up question on the statement made. There was a standing hand, Katseki. Is there any other person who would want a follow-up, Katseki? None, Seki. Seki? Oh, what's happening? And Rebecca's hand is, Memsala, the hand is up.
No, Kia Leboga, Honorable Mashir.
Tell me, go, Kai Seki, all around. Seki, where are you?
I'm here.
But why are you not talking now?
I can't. Could they also tell us, because their energy input is too high, what are they doing on the renewables so that they can offset those cost kadi renewables energy? And then there were two issues. Okay, the other one is gone. But there were those two issues. There were two issues. I remember this one. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Namakala.
No, Chairperson, my question is going to the department. You know, we are talking issues of water tariffs and all those things into the boards. But I'm worried. Amadola Water Board, there's a crisis on February. I think it is this year. There was a report that says that now there's a board there that is operating fully.
What?
A board. Because after a long time, there were crises in fightings among the board members. I think the minister went there and resolved the issue. February. Today we are here and we are getting calls from different people from Amadola that they are serious in fighting. Some board members have resigned. And hence here we are talking about AMA issues. Overseas are these boards to operate fully. So the issue of AMA structures, if they are not in place and not in order, we are not going to get this thing correctly. Because how are we going to assist these people? How can we make that port or be operational? How can we make Amadola to all those things regarding SALGA issues and all? But at the same time, we are learning, we are getting calls to say that there is serious infighting. I think that port is paralyzed again. Can the department also respond on that? Thank you.
The board is here. They must answer those questions you're raising. If it is not right, the department can speak, but we were asking on the basis of the input by the board and the DC, but if community gives you intelligence information, we can't ignore it. We will want to hear what the board is saying on those allegations. Randwater, the question raised to you by Seki.
Yes, thank you, Chair. And that's what we're currently doing as Randwater, we just around renewables over and above the off-peak pumping that I've explained. We have a project currently running. I think we're finalizing our planning. It's a hydropower project where we are going to be installing turbines at various sites of our pipe network, converting the kinetic energy generated by water flowing through our pipes into electrical energy. That project has passed the necessary Section 54 tests. The department has approved it. The National Treasury has approved it. We have made a provision in our budget. Essentially, it will assist us to generate no more than 10% of our energy through our renewables. We think that a lot more opportunities in our value chain, because we've got about over 3,000 and about 58 kilometers of pipe network throughout our value chain. And essentially in there is the movement of water, which is kinetic energy. And with the necessary turbines and the investment, we believe that there's a lot more potential to generate our own electricity from that point of view, which can take us to the upwards of 10% that we currently envisage with the what I call pilot project. So I think our plans are really afoot to look at other renewables so that we are not dependent on energy or electricity from Eskom only. And as you rightfully say, renewables also deal with the issues of moving away completely from coal, which contributes to our carbon emissions. We also have various projects on solar panels, I think. But unfortunately, at this point in time, we are not able to generate as much energy as we would like. But it's a good starting point. Some of, particularly our head office, is largely dependent on solar panels. We want to roll this out to various sites that will form part of our, if you like, our renewable mix, insofar as reducing dependency on Eskom or coal production of energy or electricity from our point of view. So yes, we have various projects, and I think if you look long and hard into our budget provisions, from other activities in the business, we are making a provision for renewables. So yes, we haven't forgotten about them, and they form part of our strategic plans going forward.
Amadola, it is said that you are fighting. Since February, you are fighting. What is the problem? Amadola? Hey, Amadola. Amadola? Here it is. Amadola? Yes.
This is Sazile Kweleka, the acting chief executive of Amadola Water. Chairperson, on the issue that has been raised, I think we do have a board that was announced and by the minister and also went through the parliament. And at this current stage, the board is busy making sure that it's recruiting its executive, concentrating more on the chief executive so that they can make sure that there's stability within the institution. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much. I think
my follow-up question to the speaker. Is everything in order at Amadola board as we speak now?
Yes, the answer is yes, it is. If there is any information outside what they say, bring it on in the meeting. But for now, they are saying they have a board. They are even showing us that sitting in the board. They are saying they are now busy advertising and wanting to appoint the CE and the CFO. So the answer is yes. If there is something contrary to that point, bring it. As a matter of fact, then they will have misled us in this meeting, but for today they have given an answer.
No, Chairperson, we need to indicate that the first stabilization was to deal with governance. There is a board, and the board has managed to find its feet. But remember that there have been issues for quite some time. They are dealing with issues of turnaround now. And when one day when you have time as the committee, they will always find time to come and share with them their turnaround, their plan, and including the issues of stabilizing the administration, as we are correctly saying, Chair. That's what they've prioritized. But it doesn't mean that institutions, they don't have challenges. From time to time, when they raise their ugly head, we expect those that are assigned with the responsibility to lead and govern them on behalf of the ministry should do so. Ngiyabonga, sir.
Thank you very much. We have come to the conclusion of this presentation. Can you flight the agenda, Kolisa?
And thanks for releasing us and Salka and the Water Force, Chair.
I haven't done so. I could feel
you are closer to that.
And we've been sitting here from our first nine. It's a punishment for human settlements all the time.
Certainly, sometimes it's not me.
No, we have only one IT master who should have started with us, and then it's your agenda. It's always Masobo starting, dear Masobo starting. And I have only one agenda, one item, and I'm listening to all the boards, and Masobo is going to be allowed to leave, and now I'm punished all the time with my staff. I must raise it here, Chair, because I'm not happy.
Chairperson, correct.
You are not an agenda maker. I asked whether there are anybody who want to amend the agenda in the beginning of the meeting. So if there was anyone who thought the agenda must be reworked, that time was allowed. We could have rearranged the agenda to address what my friend is saying. I'm sure she has been raising this point, but always she raised it at the end of the meeting as a complaint. When the meeting is allowing us to adopt or amend the agenda, we doesn't do so. And I think, Koliswa, we must now listen to what Moses Prem is saying, that in the next meetings when these things come, let human settlement be the first rather than... But we don't know whether by that time you will still have only one agenda item. Because we can't take a principle understanding. But the point is that, my system, it is not deliberate to punish you. If the agenda is proposed and it cannot be adopted, let's amend it to suit our expectation. We will do so if... maybe I'm not going to be chairing the meeting again. But I'm saying if today I was sharing, I could have listened to the request, and we could have tested it to the meeting. But it really is not necessarily a punishment. It is on the basis of the agenda that you had. Unfortunately, and unfortunately, if people of water believe they want to leave, we will not necessarily hold them against their will, because they will have finished their job. But I take the point that you're saying it is deliberately man-made that they must leave and leave you in the meeting, unfortunately.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm here in front of you.
I would like to...
Oh, okay. So, sorry.
So our apologies to Human Settlement family and his family in particular.
Apology accepted. I love you, Mampem. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. I would like to greet Deputy Minister Mashaba. Greetings to all members of the committee, the Chief Operating Officer of the Department of Human Settlements, Ms. Isindi Siwe Ngongo, Ms. Nontlanhla Buthelezi, the Acting DDG, Mr. Neville Cheney, the Administrator of the Housing Development Agency, who is also the DDG in the department, Mr. Kwezi Ngwenya, the Head of Legal Services in the Department of Human Settlements. He will be one doing the presentation, Chair. Mr. Songezo Boy, the Acting CEO of the National Home Builders Registration Council. Ms. Julie Bayat, the Board Chairperson of the National Home Builders Registration Council. That's my team, Chair. I'm raising this so that you know who is in this meeting. And allow me to please convey apology for Director General Mulelo Changane, who has been called to an urgent meeting with the advisors. Chair, as I said, we have only one item, which is a very easy one. Today, we're asked with presenting to the committee the Housing Consumer Protection Bill of 2021, which overall strengthens the mandate of the National Home Builders Registration Council. We call it NHBRC. Members will be aware that the NHBRC is tasked with protecting housing consumers. I'm not going to go into details, Chair, but the Mr. Ngwenya in his presentation will touch on the primary goal of this and also touch with other issues, and thereafter we were ready for questions, Chair. This bill went to Cabinet.
Consumer to the housing consumer for the losses, for any pecuniary loss that you have suffered.